Thanks for listening to the Secular Hubcast, a podcast made possible through a grant from the American Humanist Association. This show is a project of the Secular Hub, a Denver nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting community, altruism, reason, and education across the diverse secular community of the Front Range region. For more information and to become a member, visit secularhub.org.
Thank you for downloading this episode of the Secular Hubcast. This episode is the first of a two-parter with one of Meow Wolf's founding members, Matt King. Meow Wolf is an artists collective from Santa Fe, New Mexico, who are doing some very exciting things in the art world, as well as in the business world. And Meow Wolf is coming to Denver, building a permanent installation here. Last year, in 2018, Meow Wolf put out a documentary called Meow Wolf Origin Story. We viewed it at the Hub as part of our ongoing Dinner in a Documentary series, but this viewing was special. The Secular Hub reached out to Meow Wolf, and Meow Wolf was nice enough to send one of its co-founders, a man named Matt King, over to speak to us, have a conversation with the community here. It was pretty fun watching the documentary in which this person is featured, and then having them walk through the door to have a conversation with us. So please enjoy this episode featuring Meow Wolf and Secular Hub.
Welcome to the Secular Hubcast. I'm your host, Jesse Gilbertson. Today, I have a very special guest here in the Hub with me, all the way from Santa Fe, New Mexico, is Matt King, one of the original co-founders of Meow Wolf. Matt King, welcome to the Secular Hub.
Well, thank you. I think you're a very special host.
I get that a lot.
Good.
Well, we invited you out because we watched Meow Wolf Origin Story documentary. We just finished that up, and you did a very lovely, almost hour-long Q&A with the Secular Hub crowd. Covered a lot of ground. But for those who may not be familiar with what Meow Wolf is, could you just give a quick elevator pitch on the original Meow Wolf down in Santa Fe?
Meow Wolf as an organization or Meow Wolf as the exhibit?
See, immediately it starts getting complicated. Immediately.
Cool.
Yeah, you can start with the organization and roll into the art, please.
Cool. So Meow Wolf started off as an artist collective. We're a group of individuals that didn't really have an outlet for ourselves, decided to band together and rely on each other's talents to be able to help execute a collective shared vision. And what we started doing early on was making massive, immersive, interactive, narrative-driven art exhibits. It's a lot of stuff. You add a lot. We are in a sense maximalist, and in that idea, not only physically, when it comes to maximal art, we say, how do we take as many things as possible, and that can be all forms of art that people are going to see, and that can also be all platforms of creation that people are going to use as expression, and all forms of people. How do we take people and their ideas and create something that is coherent and is understandable to an audience that knows nothing about us? And so that is what Meow Wolf started off at as a group. And fast forward 11 years later to where we are right now in our timeline. And we have currently created the House of Eternal Return in Santa Fe. That's what people know us by right now.
Okay.
And the House of Eternal Return is a 18,000 square foot explorable narrative based exhibit. It's difficult to describe. I've been doing it 11 years and I have a hard time describing what it is.
Sure. Because I went there once last June, and I spent about 6 hours there, visited the food trucks out in the parking lot, but mostly I was inside because there's so much to explore. It's a giant space. It's got sort of Wonderland elements where the it's not just square rooms like a normal building. The shapes are fantastical. There's lots of color, there's lots of sound, everything is interaction, and it deals with high concept sci-fi story about this family and their home and what happens to them when they, sort of push too far in these creative explorations that they're doing. So that's usually about the best as far as I get. If I go any farther, I get into spoiler territory, mm-hmm. which the person who introduced me to Meow Wolf did a bunch of spoilers because it's hard to describe. Uh-huh. So I'm going to try to avoid that as much as possible. But like, how do you, if you're explaining it to someone, talk about it without spoilers? Because if there's the latest Marvel movie or whatever, people are so careful about spoilers. But Meow Wolf is so different from everything else. People use spoilers to communicate it.
Yep. What I typically do is say nothing and tell them to go experience it.
Fair enough.
Because that is what it is anyway. Like you can see all the spoilers you want. You know, you can watch videos and look at pictures and hear people's tales of it, but it is experiential. It is. You as an individual are fully encompassed inside of this world in a way that art does not usually provide for you. So to get to fully experience it, you have to be inside of it because you have to feel it. You have to hear it. You have to smell it.
Touch it.
Yeah.
Well, in most types of art, if you touch it, you're in big trouble. Big trouble.
Yep.
But when my experience with Meow Wolf was that every room was a piece of art, every surface was covered in art, and every object, because everything in there was created by an artist, so every little book or journal or the lamps or whatever, it's all art, objets d'art, you know, it's all object, it's all art stuff. And that was the most amazing thing is you're supposed to go through it and explore it and touch it and get into the mystery, so... I guess as far as it goes, thank you and the rest of the founders of Meow Wolf for putting this together because it is really cool and it is something that I think everybody should see. It's pretty awe-inspiring, pretty eye-opening. So.
Well, we would say that we are just grateful that people have received it the way that they have because it's hit or miss with art. You know, you think you have a good idea and you make it and you show it to the world and the world doesn't agree with you. You know, and we have created those, we have created Meow Wolf exhibits in the past, which like I said earlier, we've made 26 of them before we made the House of Eternal Return. House is the biggest one by far. It's the one we put the most time into. It's the first permanent one, but we have spent extreme amounts of time putting together an exhibit and we open it to the public and the public doesn't agree with it.
Okay.
So... it is great so far that this one has really hit home.
Okay. I think more people should see Meow Wolf. You said it's been 1.5 million people in the last approximately 3 years?
Something like that, that number.
That's a lot of people, but not everybody can go to Santa Fe. But thankfully, you're opening up. In this year, Area 15 in Las Vegas is slated to open up. How familiar are you with that project? Do you work on that one?
I know the basic storyline of that.
Okay.
I don't really have much anything to do with that exhibit. My focus in almost entirely has been Denver and the dark ride that we're building out in Denver right now and some other aspects that we haven't even announced yet. So okay. I know very little about Vegas.
Fair enough. From what I understand, it's like half Meow Wolf. It's not a full Meow Wolf.
It's, you know, so they're, it's still twice as big as the house, you know, so it's still going to be 40,000 square feet, but the concept of it was different in how we approach it, where we said, can we make a Meow Wolf exhibit that still embodies, the aesthetic and the like foundational ideas of what we hold to be Meow Wolf and have it made by other people? Can we have it made by contractors? And can almost all of the art that happens inside of it be outside artists that we get proposals from? We like their idea and we say, yes, we want this idea to go inside of the exhibit. And so Vegas is looked at more like that. There is where the larger picture of what it is, what the narrative is, how it all comes together, that is held tightly inside of Meow Wolf. But we're trying to say, can it be created, physically produced by outside individuals? So this is an experiment in Vegas.
Okay. Very cool. In that case, you mentioned Elitch Gardens. That's an amusement park here in Denver. It was purchased by Six Flags a couple of decades ago. And you, what did you call the installation you're putting there?
Yeah, so
it's a ride.
It is a ride. It's a dark ride, which a lot of people aren't familiar with that term. And dark ride is more a narrative-based ride, kind of like what Disney does, like Pirates of the Caribbean, or it's a small world where you're on a pretty mediocre...
Like a track?
Track, yeah. So this one, there was a dark ride in its place that's been there for the last decade called Ghost Blasters 2. And we were contracted by Elitch Gardens to recreate it. So the car is staying the same. The track is staying the same. We removed all of the narrative elements, emptied out the space, reusing the majority of what was in there, repainting it, resculpting it. It had about 50 plus different actuated motions, so animatronics and things that are moving. So we stripped
like
all
like a ghost that would pop out or something.
Yep.
Okay.
And so we stripped all of that down and reused those actuators and rebuilt things out of them.
Okay.
So it's been an interesting thing. So that's more of what a dark ride is more about the narrative itself than the thrill of the ride. Okay. And so we're rebuilding that currently. And it's slated to open to the public when Elitch Gardens opens back up in the spring, April 20th.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a reason to go back to Elitch's after all.
It is. It's going to be, you know, it's,
but that's the thing is it's going to be packed. There's going to be lines because everybody loves me almost.
It's going to be, you know, so I've been heading up the concept of that ride, with another founder, Emily Montoya. And then I'm running the team on the ground and physically producing a lot of that with a team of about 30 people. About 15 people are here right now. And it is going to be psychedelic. It is going to be a trip of a ride.
That sounds great. That sounds really cool. One thing that I really loved about Meow Wolf origin story was... the film really emphasized the group nature of what Meow Wolf is, how everybody is important, their creativity and energy and the amount of time and work they put in is important, but everybody has special talents. Like everybody, you know, no two people are the same. And I also really enjoyed just how you did everything. You had a concept and you just like, how do I make that concept? How do I make it a real thing in reality? And you had to, it's like you're learning all this crazy stuff, weird skills because you're forced to. And I kind of love that do-it-yourself aspect. So I think it's really, in our society, people are so used to just getting something off of Amazon, getting something from the store, you know, open up a package, throw a bunch of stuff in the garbage. It's so common. So I just love the Meow Wolf approach and concept. So.
Yeah, and we like to take that stuff from the garbage and say, how can we reuse that and make it something cool? You know, there's so much... there is so much trash, just like, and discarded everything. And that's a big part of what we've always done is find, you know.
Yeah, it covers that in the film.
Yeah.
From the very beginning, you're stealing. Taking trash out of the Goodwill dumpster because they have the best stuff. And there's no food in there.
So. Yep.
All right, cool. Now let's talk about Denver a little bit. You did a very nice job in the Q&A with the membership here at the Secular Hub. Of going into that a lot, but I kind of wanted to get into, well, you said it's going to be about 16 months from now. So that would put it in mid to late summer 2019 is when the building will be done enough for the artists.
2020.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
Yep.
My mistake.
Yep.
Thank you. End of the summer, 2020. Artists are going to descend like a swarm of locusts, except they're going to be putting stuff in instead of taking it away. In the film, it's Meow Wolf is described as like an organism it's almost like it exists in another dimension and it shoots these tendrils into our dimension and like I don't know, it almost like takes over your soul and force it, like channels itself through you.
It's exactly what it's like.
Well, it came through really well in the film. Can you just sort of describe that creative process? Like, what are you feeling at the time? Like creativity, frustration, joy, pain? Like, can you go through it a little bit?
In the middle of install?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Work, when you guys are working.
It's the most alive I have ever felt. It's what keeps me doing this, you know, and it's the most exhaustive times of my life because you get into this work rhythm that, you know, and I'm an artist my whole life, you know, and you make stuff in the studio and you make stuff on your own time. None of that compares to what the experience is inside of an install when you have all of the team and you've been talking and you have these ideas and it's shared, it's communal, and there's conversation going on about not what is your idea, but what is the best idea. That's what we're trying to achieve inside of Meow Wolf. That's the dialogue, that's the mindset. And when you share that, it is so energizing that you don't want to work 8 hours. You don't want to work 10 hours. You get into the point where I work until I cannot work anymore. And then I go and sleep until I cannot sleep anymore. And you get into this rhythm, you know, on the house, that project, we were physically building it for a little more than a year, you know? And I would say on average, we work 10 or 12 hours a day. The last 3 months, I worked 16 hours a day, every single day, 7 days a week for 3 months straight. By the end of it,
had to go to the hospital.
I could not do it. You know, it got to a point is if that install would have been longer, it would not have been sustainable.
Okay.
That already is excessive, but it was the drive. And everyone, in all of its frustration, because you get tired and you don't take care of your body the way it should.
Okay.
But you're so spiritually fulfilled by what you're doing, because you do feel like that this creative energy is coming from outside of yourself. Not necessarily outside of yourself. It exists both outside and inside of yourself. And it feels like it's coming through you and that you are a portal for that creative energy to manifest itself out in the world. And you feel physically like you are just an important vessel for what's happening, and you watch it happen, and you have to remove your ego from it and say, this is not me. This has nothing to do with me. This has to do with universal creative energy that is a reason why I, as a physical vessel, am manifest in this world, is to help that continue. And so that becomes very apparent. And it is just the best place to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
That's really brilliantly said. The way you just describe it now made me think of a Greek philosopher thousands of years ago was feeling the same sensation that you just described. Somebody who's, it's like a mystical thing almost.
Definitely.
All right, cool. Yeah. Well, cool. Sorry.
That's cool.
I think I'm good, man.
Cool.
I mean, we're at 18 minutes. That's good.
Awesome.
All right. Well, Matt King, it's been a real pleasure to meet you. It's been an honor to have you here at the Secular Hub. I know the people we had here tonight were very pleased. They were really excited to have you here. The city of Denver loves Meow Wolf. Like, the city of Denver cannot wait. I know because I'm a Denver person.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody I talk to about it is, it seems like unfair that we have to wait for like another year and a half or 2 years or whatever, but I know it's going to be worth it. I'm really excited that you guys created something new, like a new aspect of the culture that wasn't there before. So thank you again for your creativity. Thank you for your generosity with your time tonight.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with our community before?
I want to say thank you to you because what I see as a value and the reason I will always try and go out of my way to do things like this and to actually engage in conversation and to try and get to the point of why it is we're doing what we're doing and who we are and what our ideas and our intent are, is because a lot of times you hear a name of a thing and you don't investigate it to say, what is this really? And there is hearsay and you have a negative perspective on it. You know, this group is coming into my community. Who are they? You know, that's natural. And it's because all of us as individuals have been subject to organizations out in the world coming in saying that they're going to do one thing or that they stand for one thing and then deliberately doing something else. And that was their intention, is to fuck you over. You know, that's the world that we live in. And so it is good to sit and have an actual meaningful conversation about what we're doing to say what Meow Wolf is doing right now, what we're trying to do is bigger than we have the experience base. This is all new for us. And as we continue to grow, we're going to continue to try and make a bigger impact and to do bigger, more important things that are still new to us. So we're not always going to get it right. But the intention there is to make meaningful, impactful situations for our community. And Denver is new to us. My community comes from Santa Fe, but my mindset is that our community is the world. It's the people. It's you right now. You know, you're new to me. You're sitting across the table, but let's, as people, come together and try and do something to help change the situation. You know, the situation's fucked up, you know?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. So that was a bit of a ramble, but you know, I want to say thank you for, you know, doing what you do and try and reaching out and trying to instigate those conversations.
Yeah. I'm an instigator.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks again. Thank you very much.
Yeah, definitely, man. Cool. Thank you.
All right. Cut.
Sweet, man.
All right. Now, wasn't that nice? It was a real pleasure hosting Matt at the Hub. He's a real gentleman and he was extremely generous with his time. He made sure to answer every single question that the group had. Didn't leave anybody out. So it's my sincere hope that you will check out Meow Wolf, either plan a visit to Santa Fe sometime or plan a future visit to one of the exhibitions that's opening. You can check out meowwolf.com, and that's also where you can see the documentary. You can rent it for $5 or buy it for $10, but it's a pretty fun documentary, and Meow Wolf is growing and expanding, and we like what they do. Calendar of events. February's entry for the book club is the book The Bonobo and the Atheist by Franz de Waal. In this lively and illuminating discussion of his landmark research, esteemed primatologist Franz de Waal argues that human morality is not imposed from above, but instead comes from within. And the date for that is Sunday, February 10th at 3 p.m. at the Secular Hub. Don't worry if you haven't read the whole book. The conversation is always very lively and engaging for everyone involved. If you've read the book or you find that concept interesting, come on down. Now, if you've never been to the Hub, Tuesday, February 12th might be perfect for you. It's our monthly newbie night. It's an event that's set up specially to welcome people who have never visited or who are pretty new to the Secular Hub. It's a nice, easygoing dinner. Michelac, one of our volunteers, brings pizza dough and sauce and cheese, and everyone who attends brings toppings, such as vegetables and meat. Pizzas go in the oven one by one, and conversation flows, and everybody has a chance to ask questions and to just hang out at the Secular Hub and kind of get a feel for it in a easygoing, calm, friendly environment. Of course, Newbie Night is open to people who've been around for a while, not just newbies, but if that sounds like your sort of thing, please come on down to the Secular Hub Tuesday, February 12th at 5:30 p.m. Lastly, February's Game Night at the Hub is coming up Friday, February 15th at 6 p.m. Game on, say the organizers. You can bring your own games or just show up. We will have various games to play. Feel free to bring food or snacks. The Hub has snacks and drinks available for a small charge. Helps us pay rent. kids are welcome. See you there. Friday game night at the Hub is getting to be a popular event. Again, that's Friday, February 15th, 6 p.m. So there are quite a few options if you want to get on down to the Hub and have some fun. Thanks goes out to Andrew Curtis Forlines for putting the Dinner in a Documentary event together. And thanks to everyone who participated in that very successful event. Thanks to our special guest, Matt King. And thank you for listening.